We are talking about the ceremony at Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre. It's what it means in terms of its preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb or the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, there's 10 days, or not 10, however many days there is from. There's 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the days of awe. And then there are 7 days from, I think seven. Anyway, there's a few days from Yom Kippur to Tabernacles. And again, the delay, the reason the marriage supper of the Lamb isn't on Rosh Hashanah, on Judgment Day, is to show us, again, the long-suffering of God, His mercy, that he, no matter, even if it's Judgment Day, He's still giving you more time to repent, more time to come to the end of yourself, more time to make sure the right garment is on, so there's no more spots or blemishes. I want us to set the predicate for this. I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which His church shall rise up to meet Him in the air, and then hang out there for a while, and then come back to earth, and then... No, it doesn't say that. It says, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up or dissolved. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And remember, conversation is manner of life. Godliness has to do with your thought process. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, or new land, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, hath written unto you. You've got to see that out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not just the mouth of here, it's the mouth of the board of elders in your mind. And it's... We're back to this thing of judgment. Either you're looked at and judged by your life, from your birth to your death, or you're looked at and seen of only Christ. There's no negotiation. You can't have done something pretty good. It's either all Him or all you. There is no in-between. That's why for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. That's why it's Jesus Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Now, let's see what this means with regard to the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Go to Matthew. Matthew 12, a minute. Okay. I want you to see that whenever Jesus or John the Baptist, or it's relatively common here, where he calls them the generation of vipers. That literal translation of that is, you sons of the snake. You've got to hear this. Your mind and your emotions are of the son of the snake. Now listen to what he says. Verse 33. Either make, and these are the red words. I'm just kidding. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, O sons of the snake, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's pretty big. Yeah. What?
How to twist that scripture. Well, in natural man, I always looked at it. If you curse, that's bad. It's not talking about cursing or foul language.
No, it's talking about lying. Think of the idle words that you have spoken with your mouth or with the mouth of the mind. They're infinite, and they continue to be so. That's why it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You don't walk in the Spirit by running around speaking in tongues. You walk in the Spirit by abandoning yourself, making no judgments by any sensory perception. And there isn't any good. When you got to hear this. John the Baptist said, now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. The axe was laid to the root of the tree at Jesus' baptism. The tree of the human race. The human race is the tree. The axe was laid to the fruit of the, I mean, to the root of the tree at the baptism, and the tree fell forever dead at the cross. 3.5 years to make the tree fall. The mystical 42 months that you see throughout the scripture. But even before it fell, the axe was laid to the root of the tree, because Christ fulfilled all judgment, all righteousness, all judgment, everything, when he was baptized. And he was baptized on Yom Kippur. As he was being baptized, other people all over the country were doing the Kol Nidre. Am I communicating a little bit? That's why the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. What is the obedience of Christ? The axe is laid to the root of the tree. There is no solution in me. There is nothing in me, that is in my flesh, save the fruit of the evil one. You've got to get this in your mind, that accepting Jesus as your personal Savior isn't the key. That's nowhere in the Bible. Making a decision for Christ isn't in the Bible. Being born again is in the Bible.
And being born again means you die. You not becoming something. Everybody went, oh, what's the will of God for my life? Oh, the will of God for my life is to be a musician. Oh, the will of God for my life is to be a blah, 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 blah. The will of God for your life is singular. The will of God is Jesus Christ. And how he manifests his life in you is not your business. Can you maybe understand a little bit more of what the kol nidre is? Because every one of those words and thought and the words of the voices in your mind ended up in some way being a vow. Can you see why he said, take no thought for your life, to abandon yourself? Not you becoming anything except you reckoning that you have been crucified. You died on the cross with him. And if you don't mortify the deeds of the flesh, not, we're not talking about something you call bad. There is no thought, no emotion that you can have that can stand against it is finished. That can stand against by one offering you've been perfected forever. Can you maybe, is the totality of this grabbing you maybe? How can you then go and in five more minutes you're on your own arm of understanding again, and you're trying to come to a solution by your own means? That's why without faith it's impossible to please him. Faith isn't a commodity for you to get fulfilled. No matter how much you hear that garbage. Somebody must have some response to this.
I've got one. The idea of walking out of here and forgetting and all that, isn't that the table of the Lord too? I
mean, no.
How can we say this is good and that's evil?
That is an evil. You are. It's your response to that which is evil. Because you're gaining sustenance and satisfaction and our sadness and upsetness because of the table out there. And you cannot eat at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. The table of the Lord is manifested in the communion plate. You gain your sustenance and satisfaction only from the bread, and therefore nothing can disturb it. You gain your worth only from the blood, and therefore nothing can cause you to feel like, oh, I'm upset, or I'm my rights have been blah, 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 blah. Somebody can't treat me like that. I need respect.
So there's some mechanism in us that when we walk out there, we've left the table.
And that's the evil.
We begin to look for something else to eat.
Right.
Looking for life.
What you got to hear this. What you hear, really hear. And if your ears are circumcised, then nothing again can ever feed it. What you hear is what you see. If what goes on in here doesn't produce the seeing when you go out there, then you haven't heard. That's why it's only those that have ears to hear that can hear. The only ears that can hear are the ones that never again have a concern for self, because you have abandoned self. You've seen yourself as crucified. But if you go out, let's play that game.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're in here, and you go, then okay, now I'm going to go out there, and something happens that you don't like, and it makes you upset or mad or anxious or fearful, that's the evidence that you've gone out there and you're eating at the table of the Lord. Not, I mean, the demons, not at the table of the Lord. because you're gaining your sustenance and satisfaction from something that's going on out there.
And it's kind of the opposite. It's not sustenance. You gain sustenance from misery or sustenance from things not going right or sustenance.
If you respond to it that's the way a Gentile would, then you're gaining sustenance from it, even though it's negative. It doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. It's the same food. We are not of this world. We are in it in order to see if we will continue with his test or if we will get deceived as soon as we walk out there and now we've got something going on and we have to take care of.
It always comes down to who tells you you're naked.
You've got to see this. And when you go out there and you see that something is affecting you, you've got to repent of it. You've got to be repenting, not, no, I'm sorry I did that. No, repenting meaning, again, I leave myself behind, and it's only the long-suffering of God, which the end isn't coming when your garment is spotted by the flesh. You see how total, if anything out there can affect you, then that means your garment is spotted by the flesh. Affect for good or affect negatively. Who gives a rat's ass who's elected or who wins the game or, you know, anything? Who cares whether somebody shoots you? I don't care. Go ahead and shoot me. Nothing out there can affect peace. If anything affects peace and perfection and righteousness and finishness, then you've been deceived and you've sold out. You've neglected this great salvation. You've sold out. So if you've heard, you can't forget.
I just saw some imagery that kind of captured it, like our board of elders. Say while we're in here, they go off into another room and have a cup of coffee, and then when we leave here, they open the door and say, "Is it safe to come out?" Then they come out and start talking to you, convincing you of your
yeah, and it's just goofy,
yeah.
Pitiful.
It's just pitiful.
Last night I saw after my book club, we watched an hour of Boston Legal, and it was the first time that I saw an application of these Bible studies.
The first time?
No, but I meant in a TV show. They were talking about Heather Locklear supposedly killed this or something, and nobody really knew. And there was a term that I'm sure you know called Schadenfreude. And in the mind, they can clinically measure the hormonal rise when you see somebody fall. There's a moment of pleasure, of chemical pleasure in your brain in seeing somebody fall, seeing somebody suffer that you think should suffer, seeing somebody, like if OJ had been found guilty, even if he wasn't, you'd say, I knew he was guilty. And it's almost unconscious. It's not a conscious thing where you try to think that. It just happens instantly.
Well, it happens because you've given place to the evil one.
Okay. Well, I was looking at it is...
You can't look at it.
It's kind of part of our...
Your hard wiring.
Yeah.
That's why if you give any place to any part of the hard wiring, then the... I would probably pronounce it. Schadenfreude. The taking pleasure at the misfortunes of someone else.
Right.
Or the taking pleasure in somebody that you like. The spiritual meaning of that is that if it's your children, for instance, then you're eating their flesh. If it's the Cowboys who win a football game, then you're eating their flesh. Whether your response is negative or positive, your sustenance is coming from that rather than the sustenance of the Son of Man. I mean, this is so black and white. I just pray that there would be this, in this legal term, this bright, shining boundary that you see.
I don't know what else to do to cause you to see it. I don't have any more words. My deepest prayer is that you would see that, so that there is no more being deceived by this little thing out there, either positive or negative, because that's not your life. You are hid with Christ in God, seated forever on the mercy seat. You have no more relationship to you have nothing can either give you pleasure or cause you sadness or anxiety. And it goes so far as, you know, the promise is no sudden fear shall come upon you. Now, that's an incredible thing. Now, this is our life. Go to James 3. My brethren, be not many masters, or really what it means is teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend everyone. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth our whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these ought not to be so, not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time, or same place, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now, the whole idea here isn't a lesson in how to bridle the tongue of either this tongue or these tongues. The whole idea is to not give them any importance. They're as meaningless as dust. The highest value thing that you can conceive of, or the worst possible thing that you can conceive of, are equally dust, because they were created. They weren't birthed from the Father, from eternity. Now, Christ in us is the only thing, subject, person, being that originated in eternity, outside of time. Therefore, he cannot be affected by that. But because of his love and for the Father, because God so loved the bride that he gave his son, or loved the son that he gave the bride, he took on him the form of us.
even though he knew the futility and emptiness of all of us, so that we can come to the end of self, so we give no more breath to any dust, no more value. That there's no greater value to a gold star you won in a spelling bee to the Nobel Prize. They're meaningless. There's no greater value whether or not you can understand Einstein's theories and go beyond than to be in a crazy house. Now the meaning of the Kol Nidre in the preparation for tabernacles, for the marriage supper of the Lamb, is that you
get killed for having self.
There are
people. Just the Bible kills the liberal self. Sorry.
Shut up, Ronnie. You're schadenfreuding here.
We're good now. Run the tape back so we can figure out where he was.
You don't let this precious garment, the righteousness and rightness of Christ, ever again be spotted by that smelly, stinky hunk of flesh. Abandon yourself. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought for anything. But live in that moment of dependence on the Father. Now is the accepted time. Not in the future or in the past. Now is always the only accepted time. And you redeem the time by living in the now. You don't try to take God where He isn't. God isn't in your little ideas of what's going to happen or your little prejudices of the past. Those are templates of the evil one. What?
Well, I guess
no. Kevin, what? All right.
I get the same message that you were saying about, like, it's all or none. It's him or nothing. It's either bitter or sweet. You don't preach salvation and, you know, glory of salvation and glory of Christ and hope of glory, and then all day long sit and judge people and say they're wrong, they're evil. It just doesn't mix.
You know how Judy said if she'd seen you get freaked out, she'd flip out or something like that? I'm amazed at the way you reacted to his phone ringing. I don't know how you did that. No, I'm serious. When that happened, did you have the reaction that I think you had and somehow see through it? Or did you no longer have the reaction?
No, I saw through it.
Just like that.
But it's nothing to do with me.
Well, I can't do that, and I'd like to be able to do that.
Well, you can if you give any of your ideas or schedules or predetermined courses of action, if there's any other motivation besides love, then you are still keeping yourself in you're yo-yoing. You're going, you're being raptured and back down to time and back, you know. But you have to repent from all of it. You have to leave all of it behind. Not something you think is good.
I don't hear anything you're saying. I can't, I mean, I can see through that, but it takes me, I'm still in the process of seeing through it. Okay, that was, what, 5 minutes ago? You stopped for a nanosecond and then continued. And I'm amazed by
that. Well, I mean, it had nothing to do with me. I don't
care about you. I care about me. My only problems are caused by what I'm talking about right now. I don't have any problems other than my reaction to stuff. And I don't want that. But I still have that.
There's no easy answer.
It's like when you say no sudden fear will come upon you. You know? Well, for me, that's like a sudden fear. It's like, and it's I can move away from it, and I can analyze it, and I can condemn it, and I know all that stuff. But that's not in the fire.
Well, the only thing that can be done is a thing I've done a million, probably a billion times. I mean, it's to repent when I see it in me. There's nothing else. It's not, again, not I'm sorry I did that and I won't do it again. But, my God, that's another indication that I haven't seen that I am crucified. I mean, a few months ago, you know, when I was getting upset because people didn't understand, and Carolyn rightly pointed out, well, that's just as evil. I mean, I can't get righteously upset. That's just pure evil.
I know. That's what I'm talking about.
But the only what... The
I
only,
think getting upset would have been... You could have righteously gotten upset about that.
Well, I couldn't either. I've done it a million times. But it doesn't make it right. It's just another thing that I have to repent of.
I agree.
That's the only thing that... The only answer to all this... And again, repentance has lost its meaning as a word. Because even in the sound of the word, it sounds like penance and it sounds like, you know. You got to see that repentance is just like breathing. You breathe out you breathe in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's why truth can only be the sustained consciousness of error. That's really what repentance is. Because you have to repent from all of you, every single aspect of you. Or me, or anybody.
Yeah, I'll repent of you.
And we're talking about the hard wire. I mean, Harry's hard wired to won't respond. You don't choose to respond.
But that's why the meaning of repentance is, it's, remember, it's repentance not to be repented of. It's not the repentance of the world. The repentance of the world is, I'm sorry, and I'll try to do better next time. Well, that just leads to death. Godly repentance is repentance not to be repented of. And that meaning is, again, it's the only way you can understand repentance is to understand how far is your sin forgiven. If you believe the Psalms, it's forgiven from as far as the east is from the west. And that's not an accidental phrase, because it refers to the west being, that's the only place to be looking, the place of the set, the sun is set, that's the beginning of the new day. Well, again, it's the sun has set in all of you. There's no more thing in you that can do anything right. But at the moment you turn toward the east, which is what the repentance of the world is, I'll do better, or I'll try to do better. Even though it's like foxhole, you know, there's no atheists in the foxhole. No, but there's a whole bunch of theists. I mean, I was a... like when I became a believer, when he revealed his son, I didn't know anything about it. I just heard something, and I knew that I was bored to death, and that there was nothing in this world that I wanted. And I, if you're real God, I didn't say anything about, oh, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. If you're real, and what he is saying is true, then that's what I want. I don't care what it costs me. But I didn't have the illusion of thinking that I was going to be made better, because Norman said, the only way God can use you when you have failed is when you have failed completely. And you have no more illusions about something you're going to do. Then the born again experience is real. It isn't an add-on to your life. You know, some huge number, 85 million people in America say they've been born again. And now it's even been used as a cliche to talk about somebody has changed their mind and become a conservative, and that was a liberal, or a liberal and a conservative. I mean, it's just goofy. Born again it's the greatest thing in the universe. It has nothing to do with, you know, what you think about, or it has to do with the understanding that Christ is your only life, and the only way that life is going to be manifest is if you die.
Thinking about the type of a worm turning into a cocoon, becoming a butterfly, and the butterfly doesn't fly around thinking about what it's like being a worm.
Well, it's just...
You just be,
that's all. You don't try to be. The idea of trying to get something right or trying to be something is just, it's like, you know, it's like, no, I won't say that, never mind. I gotta quit. Take a big guy.